Blog Talk Radio.
Round up the usual suspects.
Well, welcome to this week's Left Ahead podcast. This is Mike Ball, who blogs at leftahead.com and harumfer.com. And this is a personal one. You know, I want to go on about facts and do research and polls and all that kind of stuff. But this was about family. We had a house divided. So you got to say that nobody here is a Trump person, which is, I guess, no surprise. Should also be noted that nobody here is a Johnson or Stein person, which may surprise some people because we have a house full of Utes. I became aware of how divided we were, particularly at dinner times, when there would be, if we had everybody in the house, if the 30-something daughter-in-law was visiting from Seattle, and the other daughter-in-law who lives here with the youngest son, and our middle son, we're all here, and my wife and I, and we had a house full of people, and my poor wife was on her own on that, because she was... has been from the beginning a Hillary person, and there's a whole table, and everybody else was for Bernie Sanders. So you might imagine that it was somewhat uncomfortable, and there were some discussions, but nobody was really hurt at it, physically at least. There were some other things. So I was curious if you had experiences. If you happen to be listening to the show now, you might want to call in and tell me about it. If you had conflicts with your friends and family, call-in number is 718-664-6966, and don't hide your number. I don't connect anonymous calls, but again, if you have something to say, call it 718-664-6966, and I'll get into it a bit. So there we were, because those of us who were very much for Bernie are oldsters like me, and youngsters like our youngest son and his wife, and it was quite a household. And those of us who were Sanders peoples deal, I guess, mostly on policy, or at least we like to think we do, as I have my own problems with Clinton, and I think that maybe she has been straightened out a bit by a combination of pressures of people like Elizabeth Warren, our senator, and by Bernie Sanders in the campaign, and a whole lot of people are saying, wait a minute, you can't be the same old Clinton, or you can't be like your husband used to be. You've got to get your act together here, and don't talk about, giving away the store just to get something passed, and don't play John Kennedy. Here in Massachusetts, you're supposed to worship John Fitzgerald Kennedy, and President Kennedy had some good traits, mostly his brother, who and his vice president, who actually passed important laws that got done. But Kennedy was a warmonger, and he always had his thing on the table, mine's bigger than yours, and I'm tough. And Hillary seemed to be much like that. She seemed to be hawkish, and that makes me nervous, and make the young people in the house nervous. So that was a cause of conflict. I think there are a whole bunch of people who will vote against Hillary Clinton because she's a woman, and that's both men and women, and I've talked to them, but that seems to be mostly white folk, because we are a nation of white folk in our electorate, and it's changing rapidly, and it soon is not going to be the case, but right now it still is, and the majority of the people who go to the polls are still white, and they have some pretty old-fashioned ideas. Even boomers my age should have gone beyond that, should have gone beyond the World War One, World War Two generations, but didn't get that, because I think it's pretty plain that a lot of people were against Barack Obama because he's black. And I suspect there are going to be a number of people who don't want a woman president. And that's unfortunate, and it's very real, and I think we need to accept that. But there weren't any of those people like that in this house. So we had a basis of our conflicts. And I made the mistake of saying to several Hillary supporters, but I do believe that it's, you know, there's a still a gimmick factor there. I mean, both of the Democratic finalists were had a gimmick factor. Bernie was raised as a Jew, and we've never had a Jewish president, not anywhere near close. And we've never had a woman president, not anywhere near close. So both of them, can you can say, yeah, there's a shtick there, you know, a little gimmick there. We're going to vote, and there are people who scream, you know, Susan Sarandon seems to be on that hand. And she's screaming and tweeting that she doesn't vote with her vagina, and so she's not going to vote for Hillary just because she's a woman. And that's cool. I mean, that kind of makes sense, but I think, you know, to put it in such sexist terms shows her instability and says nothing about Hillary. So we had some fantastic dinner table conversations, and I'm one of those people. People who listen here know I tend to get into the numbers and the figures and the facts, and I am kind of like the Spock in Star Trek. So I don't get a whole lot into the emotional aspect of it. So we didn't have a bunch of that, but my daughter-in-law in Seattle was a very strong Bernie supporter, and we ended up being actually quite pleased and proud of her as she took her newborn baby girl, our little granddaughter, and took her to several states to campaign with Bernie. In fact, there are some selfies up there of the three of them in several different states, and Bernie picking her up and, you know, Googling and all that kind of stuff. So she gave a real effort to it and was bitterly, bitterly disappointed as it became obvious that Bernie was not going to make it as the nominee. And I think she's still pissed. I can't believe that she would not, in the end, vote for Hillary over Trump. But nevertheless, there's some real bitterness there. And the younger people in the House, we have some 320-somethings in the House, and they were all for Bernie. And they were fairly strong on it, but they didn't do the analysis as heavily as some old man like me, as I do. But they would say that it was, in fact, the policy issues, and they can point to Bill Clinton's administration and the many terrifically bad compromises he made just to get something passed. Defense of Marriage Act is surely the worst. I think that is the absolute low point, the nadir of Bill Clinton's presidency. And Hillary was for that, and they were always about, you know, they were anti same-sex marriage, and, you know, there are a whole bunch of things that didn't work, and we can't really hold Hillary totally accountable for her husband's policies, but there were a number of things that she said and did that were along that line, and then the campaign came around, and so then she eventually came around to same-sex marriage, and she lately has come around to being against the Trans-Pacific Partnership, TPP, and I am not so sure how sincere she is about that, and I don't know whether there's a chance that Barack Obama can get that through before the election. I hope not, because I think it's a terrible deal. But nevertheless, she allegedly is against it now, but I think it's a tenuous thing. So there were some serious discussions and serious fights. And as I said, you know, nobody was physically injured, but there were some hurt feelings and some people angry, and there were some awkward telephone calls and visits in both Seattle and Boston. And there was plenty of which one person put an obscene insult on another's Facebook page, and then the other person took that, deleted that comment, and then the obscene person unfriended her. So that happened, and I think there's still some sore feelings about that, and we'll probably continue, but there's like, you know, why aren't you as fervent as I am in my passions? And that's on all the sides. And, you know, Bernie had the best policies. He was by far the most progressive. He was what we see that we want to do here in Massachusetts, and so it made perfect sense. But on the other hand, you got to say that the Hillary people can be just as excited about their candidate. And I, you know, I try not to downgrade it, but it sounds like their argument pokes down to she's pretty damn good and she's a woman and she's a woman and she's a woman. So I got my doubts that that's a good reason to a good primary reason for somebody to become president. But I got to say, when it comes down to it, I mean, Jill Stein is a crazy person who's a anti-vaxxer and has no real policies and made terrific promises of a new deal with no way to finance it, and just it's totally impractical. And she keeps saying, "Well, I'm a physician. I know all this stuff," and that's crap. It's like Donald Trump saying, "Trust me, I don't trust either one of them." And Johnson and they're wishy-washy Republicans basically. Socially liberal and do what you want to do, and we'll all get along. Everything will be swell, and we'll just be nice to each other. So to me, it comes down to Hillary or Trump, and really there's no way to deal with that. Trump is just a crazy person who's a total liar. So I have nothing to say for him. In an interesting way. But we had a mini version of that for a company that I've been working for, doing contract work for, and it was a big company cookout at one of the fancy suburban houses. We went out there, and turns out that one of the guys, the CEO, is a Trump guy, and everybody else around the table, including his wife and the other people's wives, were all there, and he was the only Trump guy, I guess. Think about it. Other than his daughter, all the other people were men and wives. Gosh, it's the 1950s. Anyway, he did the standard thing, which is, well, you just give me a one good reason to vote for Hillary. And when people started giving him good reasons, he would say that those don't count, and that kind of typical Trump behavior. But he wasn't obnoxious about it. And again, nobody was screaming, and nobody got fired, and things worked. But there's a lot of tension around there. So I'll give one more shot in case anybody's out there and wants to tell me what's going on theirs. There is a call-in number. It's 718-664-6966. Call in and tell me if you have an experience like that. We've talked to our friends, and I got to say, every single one of our friends in every state where you have them and relatives, all of our friends are Democratic types, and most of them were for Bernie. A few of them are for Hillary, but they're not at each other's throats, but they are firmly on the left-wing end of the scale, and we weren't quite sure when we got talking about it, but people come over, and we have dinner, drinks, and socialize with them at other events and so forth, and it's pretty plain. But virtually all of them were for Bernie, and were sad that he didn't get the nomination because they felt that that was a real chance for some great change. And with the changes that his people have made to the Democratic platform, there's going to be some changes, and there's going to be a new anchor for going forward, because they don't really build on the platform year to year or every 4 years to every 4 years, but they do. They do take a look at what you got, and that's kind of the starting point. And so I think we're going to go with that, and I'm assuming we're going to have a Clinton 4 years, maybe eight, and we're going to be building on Bernie's rules. So if we have a democratically controlled Senate and a Democratic president, then we got a chance of getting some stuff in the works and getting it running. I don't think the Democrats are going to be in control of the House come 20, which is what would require for the redistricting to undo all the gerrymandering that the Republicans have done. But nevertheless, there's a good chance of running with Hillary and a Democratic Senate, and that could be a very good thing for the nation, because we do know that if you want to see the nation go into an economic tailspin and lose jobs and go into huge debt, elect a Republican. Republican president, and ideally then a Republican Congress. And you can be sure the economics are going to hell. And we've had like over 50 years of that. So I can do without more Republican administrations. Thank you very much. So we're looking forward to it. But anyway, we've had our own struggles with it. And our struggles were largely in the leftish wing. And Hillary's vaguely left. Bernie was pretty left. And our struggles were between those two. And it was surprising to see with the generations. I mean, we had over a 40-year span, and the generations were almost entirely for Bernie's progressive action in this House. So I hope your discussions were more pleasant than ours were, and I hope nobody unfriended anybody on Facebook, and nobody went away in a huff, and nobody slammed down the phone or punched off the phone. Now you don't slam the phone anymore. So we saw it, and I think that's kind of a microcosm of what went on in the on the left-wing side of the United States, and it worked. It worked for us, and it looks like the polls are saying at least 90% of the Sanders people are going to vote for Hillary, which is good. I mean, it's not going to make or break the election, but it is good. It'll give her a nice, solid shot, and might help with the Senate seats. So the people have their feelings hurt. I did. I truly, truly wanted Bernie to be the nominee. So I was sad and insulted and hurt by the whole thing. But I'm certainly going to smear the oval for Hillary on November 8th. Let me know. Go to leftahead.com and comment on it if you think about it. And let me know how yours came out. So I'm not sure what's going to go on in the next couple weeks. I know that on Tuesday the 30th, we're going to have a discussion of the mass transit and social equity, which is a big thing here in Boston. We've had a long, long struggle along the Fairmont Indigo line to try to get fast, affordable mass transit from where middle class and poor people live to where they work, because it's been pretty much a rich white person's game for the longest time, and we're getting closer and closer. So we're going to have the interim director, Joss Ortroff of Transportation for Massachusetts. He's going to talk to us about social equity and transportation. So I'll plug that on Twitter and leftahead.com. And join us on Tuesday the 30th at 2:30, and we'll talk about mass transit social equity. Okay, good afternoon.